The Bible says he's a king of the Jews. He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's a king of kings, and he is the Lord of lords. Now that's my king. Do you know him? No means of measure can define his limitless love. Well, he's eternally strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's impurely powerful. And he's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's a fundamental doctrine of true theology. Do you know him? He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? My King is a key of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? His light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. Well, I wish I could describe him to you, but he's indescribable. He's indescribable. Yeah. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. You can't get him out of your mouth. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him.
Yes.
That's my King. Yeah. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. You can't impeach him, and he's not going to resign.
Would you please stand with us and sing number 155 in your hymnals, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Bring forth the rod.
On this Christ the King Sunday, let us stand firmly in our faith and join together in the Apostles' Creed. It is number 881 in the back of your hymnal and is on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we come to a time of prayer, in addition to the prayer requests on the back of the bulletin, what are your prayer requests, intentions, and joys and celebrations? Oh, how nice. That's the way it ought to be. That's a kingdom thing right there, isn't it? Thank you for that.
Anyway, she's from North Carolina and the hurricane kind of rocked her. Rocked her here in Tennessee, and she decided to stay. And so
great.
Our little family kind of has grown two extra people. So it's pretty awesome.
That's fantastic, Matt. Thanks. It's so good to see you and have your family and friends here. Welcome. We're glad to have you. Thank you. Let us give thanks and pray to God with thankful hearts. Let us pray. God of heaven and earth, you are enthroned wherever you are. Be enthroned in our hearts now as we worship you, as we seek to draw closer to you. We give you thanks and praise that you are always close to us, whether we feel it or not. And I ask that you break down any barriers, any obstacles that we put in the way of knowing your nearness to us. God, we lift up those who are mentioned in the bulletin, those who are struggling with illness. We pray for those who care for those who are ill. We pray for the Glen Allis Christian Church and give you thanks for Pat's wrong number. And we pray for your churches everywhere, for everyone, church or person that calls you King. Gracious God, it is hard sometimes to understand your lordship, your kingdom, your reign, because all we see and experience seems to be of an earthly kingdom where evildoers get their way, where sickness takes hold, where the powerless are trod upon. Those are not your ways or the ways of your kingdom, and I ask that you help us by increasing our faith in things we cannot see, in the ways of your kingdom. Give us the courage and the grace we need to be a people who carry forth your reign in our hearts and spill out the behaviors of that reign, love and mercy and forgiveness and self-sacrifice unto all that we meet. Help us be without question citizens of your kingdom. Just as we manifest that now by praying together your prayer you taught your first disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." God gives us a chance to be kingdom people whenever we offer our tithes and gifts. So let us participate with all of who we are. Let us pray. Gracious God, bless these gifts. Multiply them for your good work here on earth, that your kingdom would be known. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power uplifts. Praise the
Please remain standing and sing with us number 172 in your hymnals, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Thank you.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I ask that these words will be acceptable to you, and that as I stand here, that your Holy Spirit will mingle between my lips and your hearers' ears, that hearts will be touched, lives transformed, and that your word will be heard. Gracious and merciful God, speak through me, and if not through me, in spite of me. But let your word take hold in the hearts of your people. I ask in Christ's name, amen. Complete this sentence in your mind quietly or out loud if you want. Power is... money. Power is status. Power is force, coercion. How do you define power? This is a situation where the title could have been called Game of Thrones. Because this is a situation in this scripture where there's a collision of two different, very different types of power. Pilate, in this scripture, seems to have all the power. Jesus, none. Pilate has worldly power. That ability to have power over others. And that type of worldly power is maintained by a willingness to harm or even kill those who are disobedient. In other words, that type of power is geared toward death. Worldly power is not the same as kingdom power. Jesus represents kingdom power, a power that on the surface looks very weak to the eyes of the world. Kingdom power, the kingdom of God power, is based on the ability to love, and it is maintained by a willingness to sacrifice self, to love to the extent of sacrificing self for others. In other words, maintained by life. The book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, chapter 30, verse 19 says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Kingdom power, manifested in the person of Jesus Christ, is power that is life-giving. This is the radical gospel proclamation. This is the statement that the evangelist and gospel writer John is trying to make, that kingdom power is greater than all our earthly exhibits of power. In this particular scripture passage, things are not as they seem. Pilate appears to have power, but it's power that's given by a world that can take it away. Pilate knows Jesus is innocent, but he is afraid of Rome, who grants him the authority and can take that authority away. The religious leaders, who can report to Rome that he is tolerant of a possible political threat, and he is afraid to do what he knows is right. So even though it appears that he has all the power, he's actually a slave. He's not free at all. Jesus appears that he has no power, but he is unafraid of Pilate, the religious leaders, and even death. He is able to do what is right and is free. When it comes to Jesus as king, we tend to think of him on his seat, you know, up there in the heavens, the celestial realms with the golden streets, sitting next to God up there somewhere. But this scripture surprises us by showing us Jesus king, Jesus' reign in a different domain. This scripture invites us to lower our gaze from the heavens back into earth in the midst of ordinary everyday life. And this scripture surprises us with a radical switch of how we think of power. The majority of references in the gospel to Jesus as king do not talk about the heavenly power. They talk about his trial. I am so sorry, excuse me. Okay. They point to his trial and his crucifixion. Where is Christ our king? There he is. He's being interrogated by a mid-level bureaucrat in the Roman Foreign Service, the governor of Judea. And it's Jesus who's made to stand and Pilate who gets to sit on the seat of power. Pilate's on his throne for the interrogation. You know, by definition, interrogation is marked by a severe power imbalance. The interrogator has all the power. The one being interrogated has none. When you listen to this exchange between Jesus and Pilate, it's not a matter of one person holding more power than the other. It's that collision of two different kinds of power. Notice Pilate's demeanor. When the religious leaders first accuse Jesus of being an evildoer, Pilate does not bat an eyelash, because Pilate himself is an evildoer. He's a minion of his government, just doing his job. He's a Roman who has slaughtered thousands of Samaritans to show them who was boss. This is a man who gets rid of people who threaten the place he holds. Morality is not a major factor in his decision-making process. Next, they accuse Jesus of claiming to be Son of God. And once again, Pilate doesn't go for the bait. He wasn't posted to this outpost Judea to settle religious controversies. Theology is not a threat to him. It's not of interest to him. But when they say, he makes himself a king, oh, Pilate is all ears then. Because this is politics, and people who believe in God can cause a lot of trouble for the state. The interview goes something like this. Pilate, are you king of the Jews? Jesus, whose idea is that? Surely not yours. Pilate, am I a Jew? Am I a deluded member of your religious sect? Jesus, if I were your kind of king, you would have a big fight on your hands. But I'm another kind of king. My power has another source, Pilate. Now he's fixated on this political thing. So, you are a king? That's what you say, says Jesus. But then you don't know what you're saying. I was born to be king. Never mind. So who has the power, really? And who has the power today in this moment? The gospel message is radical. It asserts that Jesus and his kingdom still hold more power than the pilots of this world. John the Evangelist makes it clear, and everything is backward. Jesus should be interrogating Pilate. Jesus should be asking Pilate about the brutality for which he's famous. Pilate should be kneeling before Jesus as Jesus asks him about what he, the dictator, is doing to be an honest and just ruler. In the Old Testament reading today from 2 Samuel, David describes a just ruler like this: one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. A just ruler. The only words David can even describe are poetic words, words that paint a beautiful picture of a perfect morning. Does Pilate care that people are suffering in Judea under his administration? Does he care that poor people are dying? Does he know the kind of violence his troops are visiting on innocent people? Has Roman justice ever heard of mercy? Do you, Mr. Pilate, Governor Pilate, know that your authority comes in some obscure way from God? You would have no power over me, Jesus will say later, unless it had been given to you by above. In this country, we are gifted with the freedom to interrogate everything. That's one of the things I love about being a student. I'm one of those school junkies. I would just keep going and going if I could afford it, because it's like this idea smorgasbord, and everything that's ever been presented, I can look at it and study it from different angles, and maybe it's have even the exhilarating thought of combining old thoughts and coming up with something new. But this morning, you and I walk into a church, into the one place where the process of interrogation is reversed. We don't interrogate Jesus. Jesus interrogates us. Here in church, we open ourselves up by holding up our lives against his life of kingdom living, of his reign, and the behaviors that he manifests, that he says are indicators of his reign on earth. Here we try to discover just how much of Jesus' kingship has found a place in our lives. Here we examine not only our hearts, but our commitments and our use of money and our exercise of power. We don't shine that light of interrogation in his face, but we say with the psalmist, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." Jesus' reign is otherworldly, and it looks totally counter and ridiculous to earthly kingdoms and power when it is lived out by his people on earth. This text challenges us to trust Jesus. Trust him so much so that we choose his kingdom, defined by behaviors that give life. We're challenged this week to interrogate ourselves. The answers define our lives, period. This is why I love Christ the King Sunday. Christ is either your king or he's not. And if he's not, at least maybe you're headed in that direction. You're working toward it. You know, so many times we preachers struggle with these, you know, obscure verses or multiple interpretations. But one of the reasons Christ the King is my favorite, one of my all-time favorite Sundays in the Christian year, is because it's like S.M. Lockwood said in our act of praise this morning, he's king. He is king, period. Of what kingdom are we citizens? Are we willing to accept Jesus as our king? To whom do we bow? You know, just a few more verses in John 19, the Jewish leaders, the ones who turn Jesus over, reject their faith and bow to the empire. We have no king but the emperor. In what ways do we bow to empire? Do we live in the reign of God following the servant king? Do we live lives that reflect that service? Do we reach out to the least and the lost? Do we seek to serve rather than to be served? Do we testify to the truth that Jesus came to the world to bring love, not judgment, not condemnation? Do we bow to convenience or to that which is right, which is more often than not known by drastic inconvenience? You want to know what the right thing is to do? It's going to be the hard thing every time. Can we share power? When the woman with the hemorrhage for 12 years touched the cloak of his garment, he said, "I know that power went out from me." He can share power. Can we? Jesus' reign is anywhere and any time that Jesus' kingdom behaviors are exemplified through those who call him king. Kingdom character is lived out. That kingdom witness can be heard and it can be observed. And that's what Pilate misses, and what most of the world misses, and what potentially might pass us by. That Jesus' kingdom was never a place. It's not bounded geographically, but a perspective, a stance. It's not an established rule, but a stated reality of how to live and frame one's life. It's not a fight for hierarchy, but a way of interpreting the world and embodying Jesus so that Jesus' reign is in everything we do and every encounter we have. I invite you, as you go into the coming week, to open yourself to the interrogation of this scripture and of the collision of powers in your life, to examine that and to seek to follow Jesus. Thanks be to God for the gift of God's word. Amen.
Please stand and sing with us number 176, Majesty, Worship His Majesty.
And boldness from the Holy Spirit to seek first God's reign and God's kingdom. In the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.